Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday day after edition. Dom, how you feeling, fella?
Happy hump day to you, Critty. Feeling good, man. Feeling fine. Thank you, Nate, for yesterday. Thank you for being here today, our fair audience as well. Happy hump day to us all.
Dom, let's jump right into the headlines. You know, the Kenneth Cheesebro, the trial's going to start next week. And the judge, there was a question about whether or not all the charges might be dismissed. That ain't happening. So it's game on time, right? Game on time. And oh, by the way, we should tell you, we got a fine guest joining us, the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos. He was at the party last night. He'll be here on the air with us about 4:30. So make sure you stick around for Nick. But here's the lead. New York Times reporting. Trump lawyer acknowledged political agenda in election suit email show. This headline, not nearly as galling as you're about to be when we get into the meat of this reporting. The subheadline, Kenneth Cheesebro said that even long-shot litigation would hold political advantages, undercutting assertions that Donald J. Trump's lawyers were simply providing legal advice and challenging the 2020 results. Maggie Haberman, Luke Broadwater reporting. December 24, 2020, Kenneth Cheesebro and other lawyers fighting to reverse President Donald J. Trump's election defeat were debating whether to file litigation contesting Biden's victory in Wisconsin, a key swing state. Oh, it's always key here, Dom. Cheesebro argued, they always call him Mr. Cheesebro, argued that there was little doubt that the litigation would fail in court. He put the odds of winning at 1%.
You're saying there's a chance.
As Mr. Trump continued to push his baseless claims of widespread fraud, according to emails reviewed by the New York Times. But the relevant analysis, air quotes, Mr. Cheesebro argued, is political. The emails have new significance because Cheesebro is scheduled to be one of the first two of Mr. Trump's 18 co-defendants to go to trial this month on charges brought by the district attorney's office in Fulton County, Georgia. Now, the indictment accuses Cheesebro of conspiring to create slates of so-called fake electors pledged to Mr. Trump in several states that Mr. Biden has won. Cheesebro's lawyers have argued that his work was shielded by the First Amendment, and that he, and here's a quote, acted within his capacity as a lawyer. Maybe he shouldn't be a lawyer. They have called for his case to be dismissed, saying he was merely, and here's again a quote, researching and finding precedents in order to form a legal opinion, which was then supplied to his client, the Trump campaign. Scott Grubman, a lawyer for Mr. Cheesebro, said lawyers often argue for positions that are not widely held. For example, any lawyer who has ever filed a pleading challenging existing Supreme Court precedent falls within this category. Maybe a long shot, but far from criminal. In fact, it's how the law changes over time. Oh, they're trying to change some laws, Dom. A little bit more here, and then maybe you can help. Mr. Trump has also signaled that one of his possible defenses is that he was simply acting on the advice of his lawyers, doing what the lawyers told him like he always does, right, Dom? But Cheesebro's emails could undercut any effort to show that lawyers were focused solely on legal strategies rather than considering just the law and the facts of the case. Mr. Cheesebro made clear he was considering politics and was well aware of how the Trump campaign's legal filings could be used as ammunition for Republicans' efforts to overturn the results when Congress meant to certify the election, you know, now I'm on January 6, 2021.
Here is a quote from Cheeseboro in the email chain. Just getting this on file means that on January 6th, the court will either have ruled on the merits or, vastly more likely, will have appeared to dodge again. He added that a lack of action by the Supreme Court would feed, quote, the impression that the courts lack the courage to fairly and timely consider these complaints and justifying a political argument on January 6th that none of the electoral votes from the states with regard to which the judicial process has failed should be counted. Again, ammunition. Of the chances of success, Cheeseboro estimated the odds the court would grant effective relief before January 6th. I'd say only 1%, but he wrote his filing has possible political value. Cheeseboro wrote that it was, quote, hard to have enormous optimism about what will happen on January 6th, but a lot can happen in the 13 days left until then. And I think having as many states under review, both judicially and in-state legislatures as possible, is ideal. And it gets worse. He said the legal filings could produce a political payoff to bolster the argument that there should at least be extended debate in Congress about election irregularities in each state. He added, the public should come away from this believing that the election in Wisconsin was likely rigged and stolen by Biden and Harris, who were not legitimately elected.
Dominic, you got sort of hot under the collar the other day. We reviewed the legal filings on Monday of Robin Voss, Devin LeMahieu, and Chris Kapinga, the legislative leaders, the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. And I think the part that kind of had you a little hot and bothered was the fact they were lying through their teeth to the public, to the press, right up until they had to make a legal filing. Well, Dom, how's this Cheeseboro legal filing? Because this was offered, and this is going to undercut his defense, right? But how's this one make you feel, Dom?
It's more of the same, Crudy. It's these Republicans using the courts for political purposes. I want to just repeat this, and we'll wrap it up. Again, Maggie Haberman, the New York Times. Cheeseboro said the filings could produce a political payoff to bolster the argument. There should at least be extended debate in Congress about election irregularities in each state, adding that the public should come away from this believing the election in Wisconsin was likely rigged and stolen by Biden and Harris, who were not legitimately elected. And what do we hear from here?
Rigged.
Politicians, the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. Oh, election irregularities, right? I mean, I still get emails from the hot folks, man. You know what I'm saying? That's all over. Why do we have, we don't have faith in the elections, and we got to do this, we got to do that, because people don't have faith in the elections. When the guys like Cheeseboro and those very same politicians knew that this is bunk, man. And Trump can no longer simply say he was relying on the advice of his attorneys. A little bit more here. Responding to the email chain was John Eastman.
Who, Dom?
Conservative lawyer. John Eastman. You know, John Eastman.
John Eastman's been in the state of Wisconsin as recently as, 2022? Trying to overturn the validity of the election from 2020. And at that time, Robin Voss took the meeting, right, Dom?
He sure did, Crudy. Responding to the email chain was Eastman, the conservative lawyer who has also been charged in the Georgia election case. Eastman said he believed the legal arguments were rock solid, but the odds of success were not based on the legal merits, but an assessment of the judge's spines. And I understand that there is a heated fight underway. Cheeseboro responded in his email chain, I particularly agree that getting this on file gives more ammo to the justices fighting for the court to intervene. I think the odds of action before January 6th will become more favorable if justices start to fear that there will be wild chaos on January 6th unless they rule by then either way. Wow. Trump posted to Twitter days before. First followers to come to the January 6th told him it will be wild, Crudy. It'll be wild.
I mean, it'd be a shame if your country burnt down between now and January 6th if the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't find the way we want them to, wouldn't it?
Yeah, forget about it. You know, a friend of ours.
I mean, this plot has thickened, Dom.
Reviewed by the New York Times suggests that Cheeseboro, a quiet Harvard Law School law graduate from Wisconsin, was in the crowd outside the Capitol on January 6th. He spent part of the day closely following conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, who helped lead a mob toward the building. Cheese, bro. Of course, it's political ammunition. I mean, the point of this is to walk away so the folks in Wisconsin think that this was stolen, that they got robbed. This, you know, Biden and Harris, they stole it from him. Donald Trump is rightly your president. And they still believe this to this day. I mean, there is a residual from this lie.
Dom, if you'll recall, earlier stories of Cheesebro found him divorcing his wife, Emily Stevens, a physician who later went to law school and occasionally wrote co-briefs with him. And do you recall, Tom, what changed the tenor of Cheesebro's life?
I think he made a bunch of money on crypto.
He's a crypto bro.
Traded her in for a newer model.
Like a shiny new model, a 20-year-old, Dom, if I recall. And this Cheesebro guy, my understanding, court still scheduled on the 23rd. Do you think a week from now, Dom, we'll be talking about the Cheesebro trial?
I absolutely hope so. I mean, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yes, please. May we please address this? Can we go down this road, please? Yes. Yes.
You know, I'll be in D.C. next Wednesday and Thursday. Now I'm taking the Fall in Love Tour 2023 to a new hometown, going to the District of Columbia next week. Wish you were coming with, but I'll party without you, Dom. You know, political party. You know how we do it around here.
Man, tell Bill I said, hey, I hope you hook up.
Bill Press, looking forward to making his company. Also, got some plans with Mark Pocan, my congressman. We're going to hang out as well. I'll bring you back some details, Dom. I'm sure I'll have a few stories from D.C., from the swamp.
Right.
Know where I'm staying? Nice hotel right on DuPont Circle. Remember
when they were giving away joints when we were there last
time,
right?
Free joints the day of the Trump inauguration. And you always kind of let me down, Dom. You didn't smoke it when you were supposed to. 4 minutes and 20 seconds into Trump's inauguration speech. We literally had the best seats in the house of all the stoners, those that received the free joints. And that only means you, because, you know, I wasn't going to skip the 4-block long line like you chose to do.
I didn't do it on purpose.
But at 4 minutes and 20 seconds into the Trump inaugural speech, we looked back at what he described as the biggest crowd ever, and we looked for puffs of smoke. The telltale sign that others were following suit, Dom, but apparently no one did it. But this Cheesebro guy, I don't like him. These Republicans, they piss me off a lot lately. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
That guy.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You're welcome to join us on the lines. Offer your opinions, your thoughts at 844-967-2789.
Dom, we've got to acknowledge the party that occurred yesterday. Nearly epic in scope. It was quite a rager. I got to tell you, it's got to go down in one of our top 3 to 5 parties ever, Dom, as the Devil's Advocates. We've been partying for a long time, so this was a damn good party. I hope you were there. If you missed it, you missed out, because it was a good time. I want to acknowledge some of the people, and there were so many people there, I can't acknowledge them all, but a couple I've got to name. Of course, the proprietor, Hawk. We were at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge on Cottage Grove Road, Madison, Wisconsin. The fine proprietor, Hawk. You know, he took care of our tab last night, Don.
I know. He's so nice.
He was. And you know, the only complaint I would have, Hawk, because you're always a gracious host. Next time, the Devil's Advocates tell you they're coming down to party. And I don't care if it's a Tuesday night in October, just some rando Tuesday night. Dude, put on some extra staff. That poor girl was humping all night long at the bar last night.
Did a hell of a job.
She barely kept up. And I mean, she was running all night long. Because Devil's Advocates got lots of friends, lots of partying people. I saw some sponsor types. Our friend Al Bachman from Bachman Construction. It's been too long. I saw Gordy Kopke from Kopke's Greenhouses. I saw Jesse from Solidarity Realty, where, of course, I'm in the Solidarity Realty studios as we speak right now. I also saw and like to acknowledge our fine guests, Dom. They included my county executive, Dane County Exec Joe Parisi. Joe's retiring. He's on the way out. More time with family. Retiring, he claims. We'll see. Maybe he's, you know, going to take a run at talk radio or something, Dom.
I mean, that qualifies him to do everything.
And I would also like to acknowledge our own Civic Media host, the show that comes after ours, Maggie Dawn. Great to see her. Great to see Anya. And Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin. And, oh, yeah, one other fine guest, Appellate Court Judge Chris Taylor. And I'd just like to throw this out there. She didn't give me any sort of insights, but I'm just going to start speculating. Start a draft, if you will, Dom. Chris Taylor for Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I got to tell you, I looked up the races coming up in the years to come. Because this is one, you gotta be like the conservatives. You got to look out at the map. You got to look out at the future and say, what will the future bring? Well, I think it's going to bring a Chris Taylor candidacy. No special insights, but I just think she is the right candidate. And here's what I would point out. Ann Walsh Bradley, that's the good Bradley. July 31st of 2025, that's next spring, if she doesn't choose to run for re-election. She's 73 years old now. It's a 10-year term. But if Ann Walsh Bradley chooses not to run for re-election, well, guess what? We need you, Chris Taylor, right now. Break glass in case of emergency. I'd be breaking some glass. And if Ann Walsh Bradley runs again, I'd encourage her candidacy and I would support it. But that very next year, Dom, 2026 spring election, the bad Bradley's on the ballot. Aww. Rebecca Bradley.
You got that date on the calendar, huh, Crudy?
That would be an April election, and then the new justice would join the court on August 1st of 2026. That'd also be a fine job for current Wisconsin Appellate Court Judge Chris Taylor.
Either one.
District Court Judge, state lawmaker, now an Appellate Court Judge. I don't think there is any more prepared candidate in the state of Wisconsin than our friend Chris Taylor. So I'm just saying, when it's time to draft her, I'm going to start drafting her.
It's not like
we need her on that wall. We need her on that court. Sooner or later, Chris Taylor, I hope, will join the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I think that's where she ultimately belongs. And I was happy to hear. I know once upon a time when we talked to her when she was a state lawmaker, she'd considered, you know, roles like attorney general, running for AG at some point. But she seems far more, she seems very satisfied with this career tact in the courts, in the judiciary. And I would say, you know, this is a super talented human being. We want our best and our brightest to rise up in politics and in the courts. Well, they don't get much better than Chris Taylor. But here's some other attendees. There were so many people at the party. Hassel, Annalise, always great to see Annalise, and Lisa Joe and Mark from the SAC brought me cookies. So did Lisa Joe. She brought you green M&Ms.
Yeah,
buddy, the green M&Ms, they're probably still at the bar.
Oh, what? Okay. Was that Lisa Joe brought the green mason jar?
Among other things, she brought a
mason jar full of green M&Ms. There's a lot of green in my world last night. Thank you, Lisa. I didn't even get one. I know Jorge,
I had a couple of handfuls.
Fruity. I know you had a few
handfuls,
fistfuls.
Yes.
I don't know what happened, Lisa. Man.
Hassel sent me home with some fine alcohol. I was a little nervous driving home last night between all the loose joints and the alcohol in the back. You know, I felt like I should take the back roads.
We had what, Random Dave came around, man.
Oh, there were so many people that came around.
Katie as well. We wrapped the night up. It was just so much fun.
Let me point out one other person that came around. Currently banned from the airwaves, CJ showed up at the party last night. And I photographed CJ out by the back fence at the Jade Monkey, and we're going to have a little captioning contest. I've put his photograph up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. If you've never joined or liked or followed us, today would be an excellent day, because I need you to caption the photo of CJ on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Now, he showed up at the party, and we made it very clear, you know, showing up at the party doesn't mean you're not banned from the airwaves for the entire pumpkin spice month of October. You are. But I assured him, if he sat in the penalty box, if he did his purgatory month, there would be some day that we would welcome him back to the airwaves. with a very short leash. And I said, the most important part is
nice, man.
You got to follow the topics we're talking about, man. You can't just go random trolling Joe Biden each and every day. It gets very tedious. That's why we banned you for the month of October. But good to see you at the party.
Yes, yes. Let me just say it was great to see everyone. Sorry, I know I forget names sometimes, Jim, Kurt. And I know there's some folks there that I didn't get enough time with. So thank you, everybody, for coming out. I didn't get enough time with Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. So let's get him in next. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Enjoyed the company of lots of partying people last night at the Jade Monkey. And I got one here in the studio with me right now. He was at the party last night. He's Nick Ramos, the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, you walked in, you said, long time since I've seen you. It was virtually hours ago. First and foremost, congratulations on the new job. Our pal Batman, the outgoing executive director, Matt Rothschild, I spoke with him the other day. He says, nothing but good things about you so far.
God, I hope so. I know he's got big shoes to fill, but man, you know, Batman. I don't mind being Robin to Matt. I mean, Matt was, you know, a legend in my eyes.
Yeah, we got to come up with a moniker for you.
Nightwing, maybe? I don't know.
Well, you let us work on that, T-Bone, okay?
All right.
Nick, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, for those unfamiliar, what's the mission?
So the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign was founded in 1995 as a nonpartisan organization dedicated to open, transparent government. So we track the money in politics here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got a database on our website. You can look up any candidate, see what industries are flooding tons of cash into their particular campaign war chest and see like what types of influences are happening on our candidates here in Wisconsin. And then we also focus on the fight for fair maps and gerrymandering and redistricting here. And I'm sure at some point we'll talk about tomorrow in the Senate hearings that are happening over a redistricting bill. But we want to make sure, I think that's the key for any real meaningful legislation to happen in this state. We need to have fair maps. And so, after that, I think the third key tenet is just pro-democracy reforms, and that looks like a variation of different topics, but trying to figure out what are the things that create the most equitable and best version of Wisconsin.
Nick Ramos, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, my understanding is you're tracking, your organization is tracking the expenditures actually in support of Justice Janet Protasiewicz.
Yep.
There was a threat, and we all know that Speaker Robin Voss has threatened a couple times publicly to impeach this Supreme Court justice. And the Democratic Party and some outside groups came together and said, we're going to raise some money. We're going to stand up. We're going to support Justice Protasiewicz in messaging. And full disclosure, Civic Media has been the recipient of some of those ad dollars. So we've cashed those checks. But how much money did they spend? What can you tell us about this latest round of political expenditures?
Yeah, I mean, you have a couple of groups that have gone on record and have stated that they are interested and want to spend at least seven figures on ad buys in defense or against the idea of impeachment for Justice Protasiewicz. We know that A Better Wisconsin Together, I think they're closing in on $500,000 spent on radio, digital, and commercials. And we've been trying to, with our supporters, have them, since, you know, they can be watching TV and listening to radio all across the state, and I'm just one dude and my staff is only six other people. So we've been working with our supporters to just track and see if there are new entities that are throwing their hats in the ring when it comes to this money that's allocated for impeachment, because at the end of the day, there's way less regulations for these big institutions doing these ad buys, and it's hard to track. And so we just want to get a sense of who is weighing in and this particular issue, and it's a big issue.
Well, check our FCC files, but here's what I can say. The expenditures were targeted to very specific Senate districts, meaning they wanted Republican senators who might be considerate of voting to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. Mm-hmm. They wanted the heat. They wanted the messaging in their districts, in their respective hometowns. And in no small part, our little efforts here at Civic Media, we've been building this network. Well, we cover damn near every district in the state of Wisconsin. So we have found that some of that money has come through here. It's not $500,000, I can tell you that. Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Nick, you talked about the Senate hearing, and people should know there is a Senate hearing going on tomorrow morning. And the topic, fair maps, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what is being proposed legislatively, they want us to believe they're going to be fair maps. They want us to believe this is somehow the Iowa model that often is pointed towards, but it ain't any of those things, is it, Nick?
Man, from your lips to God's ears, you're absolutely right, brother. So, I mean, we could spend a ton of time talking about this particular bill, but I'll just highlight the reasons why it's not the Iowa model real quick. One, in Iowa, if the legislature is unable to vote on a map that they all agree on, it would then get kicked to the judiciary, and in that case, it would be the Supreme Court in Iowa. Wisconsin, our bills, as it stands right now, unless they've amended it recently, it is very quiet on that subject, and I think there's a reason why. And then when we get to talk about, I mean, I just think about previous bipartisan redistricting bills that we've had in this state. The threshold to be able to actually get them passed on that third try is usually 3/4 of each house voting on it versus the simple majority that's in the law and that's in the bill, which right now a simple majority could consist of 50 Republicans, one Democrat. And that's a simple majority. That's a bipartisan vote, which to you and I and to the common folk, that doesn't really feel all that bipartisan to you and me. So we're really concerned about this bill, and we want to see something that actually produces fair maps and doesn't keep so much power in the legislature's hand.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, in studio in Madison. Nick, nice to meet you yesterday. Thanks for helping out with the audio, man. And thanks for coming around. Certainly appreciate everything Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has done. And look forward to, you know, getting to know you a little bit more. And in that vein, before we get to some other topics, you know, where are you from, man? What's your background? How'd you get into this position? So tell us all about Nick.
Wow. Well, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. So don't hold that against me. I get a lot of people here in Wisconsin apologizing and saying, wow, that stinks. And I'm like, you know, I'm really proud to be from Cleveland. You know, everybody that I know that's back home, I mean, it's a Midwest city. And
Cleveland on the lake, man. We love Cleveland. That's right. We partied in Cleveland.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
And I'm glad you didn't say mistake on the lake, which is what I hear a ton when I travel. But yeah, I moved to Milwaukee back in 2014 to go to law school at Marquette, and I fell in love with the state. I'm afraid that if there's people back home listening to this, because I used to be the biggest Cleveland spokesperson, you know, I think I'm drinking the Kool-Aid in Wisconsin, and I don't think I want to leave anytime soon. So I think you guys got something really cool going on here. And so I graduated from law school, got involved in the, you know, civic engagement, the political work. You know, I worked in Mayor Barrett's office in Milwaukee for 4 years and then did some work at Vote Riders where I was helping people get IDs to go vote. Because we're a strict photo ID law state. And then Matt retired and I was like, you know what? I think moving to Madison might not be all that too radical. And I think you guys got some really cool stuff going on here. I've only been a Madisonian for like 2 months. So I take all suggestions.
Well, parties at the Jade Monkey. Hey. They're always a must attend.
That's a good start, Nick. We appreciate it. So voting, let's talk about voter ID. Wisconsin Democracy Campaign very involved in this as well. You said historically for you, you were involved. Where we stand? I saw you pieced on wisdc.org. Voting should be easy. It ain't. that's my version of it, Nick. What's your sense on what's going on here in Wisconsin? What can we do about it?
Well, I mean, we can talk a lot about just why we're seeing so many, what I feel are desperate actions that are taking place from our legislature. And I think it's because they're very fearful of this new ideological shift on the Supreme Court. I think they are fearful that some of the laws and that some of the things that have been able to go on over a decade are going to get repealed and drawn back and take away their power. And I think voter ID laws is one of those things where you now see some of our elected officials who are working like hell to try and enshrine our voter ID law here into the Constitution so that it's going to be real difficult to go make any changes to this. And they do it all in the sake of election integrity and, you know, trying to avoid fraud. And it's like fraud wasn't even a problem, you know, beforehand.
Nick, have you considered that this is just a conservative get out the vote mechanism? Because it's already the law of the land here in the state of Wisconsin. We've seen it run up the flagpole to the U.S. Supreme Court. The greater sentiment here in the state of Wisconsin, whether I agree with it or not, is that voter ID is the right direction to go. And we know that that's the overwhelming sentiment of conservatives. So when they roll out these constitutional amendments that just happen to correspond with, let's say, a very important 2024 elective cycle, yeah. I mean, I'm just going to say I'm being a little cynical. This smells of just partisan political turnout mechanism.
I mean, I definitely think you're onto something. I mean, I don't think that tells the whole story, but I agree with you that.
Well, I'm way more cynical than I can say on the air. Yeah, trust me.
Yeah, we'll have to cut the feed. But no, I mean, I definitely think you're right. I mean, I think it does drum up, you know, the very kind of just enthusiasm on one side to then be like, yeah, you know, our elected officials, they really do take, you know, our election seriously, and they're going to show it by, you know, making sure we have this photo ID law in place. And it's just like, guys, man, I mean, really show me where there's rampant, you know, fraud going on, you know, show me where it's happening anywhere in this country. And you can't, I mean, it doesn't happen on this mass scale. So like all of these measures just seem absurd to me on some level.
Nick Ramos, yesterday we had on the big show, Ben Wickler, the chairman of the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin. And that guy is a rainmaker. He makes it rain money. Especially from the Hollywood big donors and all sorts of big donors. He's raising massive sums on behalf of the Democratic Party. And I would say, you know, fraud? No, I don't see any evidence. The Republicans specifically didn't even offer evidence of fraud at the federal voter ID trial. But setting that aside, what I would say is, you know, these I like Ben. But I don't want to be better at the game of raising gobs of money and spending gobs of money as a Democratic Party, you know, just because we're in the Wild West here, just because Scott Walker and his ilk changed the campaign finance laws, effectively says anything goes as long as you funnel it through the party apparatus.
Right.
But that is so corrupt, man. There's no caps on direct. I can give the governor $20,000, which is an enormous sum for the average citizen. Or I can give $1.5 million to the Democratic Party and then turn around and give it directly to Tony Evers. It's just a workaround, man, and it corrupts the process. And it corrupts Democrats. It corrupts Republicans. I got to tell you, man, I find it very corrupting. So any opinions, sir?
Wow. Yeah, no, I mean, literally, I mean, you're saying all this stuff and it is just singing to me right now because that is the lay of the landscape right now. We all know what the problem is. And the problem is that we have these mechanisms in place to be able to flood unlimited amounts of cash into these races. And yet, you know, one of Speaker Voss's talking points as far as impeachment was, well, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin donated $10 million to Janet Protasiewicz. She should recuse herself. And everyone, Republican, Democrat, Independent, we all know that the money and the spending is just atrocious. And I would then recommend, well, why don't we consider campaign public financing in this state? We had a democracy trust fund previously before it was repealed by Governor Walker. There was a mechanism in place. Why don't we try it out on the state level in a big nonpartisan race like a Supreme Court race? And then try it out and see how people feel about it. Give the power back to the people instead of giving all like the power to the people that have the biggest pockets at the end of the day.
But Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is not going to like that idea. And I'm not trying to imply that Ben Wickler is somehow corrupted because he's a great raiser of the funds. No. But I would say overall, when it's all about money, when it stops being about who's got the best ideas and the best candidates, and right. It's all about who can flood the airwaves with the most freaking money, man. I think even our audience, even the political junkies that listen each and every day, we get sick of it.
Right.
We get sick of it. All we want to know is how you're going to serve us better. And, you know, that's not a message we hear much.
No, sir.
Nick Ramos, you got a few more minutes for the Devils Advocates radio show?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a good answer, sir. Come back with us. More Devils Advocates, more Nick Ramos. He is the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We'll get to know him better. And you can be a part. Join us, 844-967-2789.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Nick Ramos, executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Sticking around, Nick. Thank you for doing so. I got to ask you, man, talking about the election integrity.
Let me confirm. He was air guitaring to the Van Halen.
Running with the devil. Yeah.
All right. You're already with us, man. We appreciate that. You went to law school. You went to Marquette, man, right?
Yes, sir.
When you went to Marquette, do you remember taking a class on, I don't know, symbolism in lawsuits or symbolism? Do you remember anything like that, or politics in the lawsuits? Or any focus of your law classes pertaining to those kinds of things?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, I think before I got there, we had, I think, Russ Feingold and some other individuals teaching some courses like that. And it just so happened that during my 3 years, they phased that out. So unfortunately, I don't have it.
So here's why I asked the question. The Wisconsin Republican leadership, Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, you got Chris Kapinga, you got, who's the other guy? Devin Lemahieu, right? These guys have been saying over and over again about our election commission administrator, Megan Wolf. Well, she's got to go. She's there illegally. She's on the seat. She's not supposed to be there. And then they've been saying this for months and months. And then they file, in response to a lawsuit filed by Attorney General Josh Call, they said, well, you know, this whole effort of ours was all symbolic. Now, to me, that means they're lying. You know, they're stirring the pot, Nick. You know, and then this goes back to the election integrity farce. The farce, Nick. There's no fraud. The voter ID hasn't stopped any fraud. There wasn't fraud in the 2020 election. And now it comes out today, being reported in the New York Times, Nick, kind of the cheese bro, a Wisconsin attorney, a Wisconsinite, was all neck deep in the politics while advising Donald Trump, running around with Alex Jones at the Stop the Steal on January 6th at the riots. And what does this do? This perpetuates this myth, this lie, this, oh, we have to be very concerned about election integrity. So it's not, you know, it seems to be coming at us from all angles, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, and I appreciate you bringing up the fact that recently, I mean, it feels like in the public, you hear so much as far as, oh, you know, Megan Wolf, we need to remove her, we need to impeach her, all that stuff. But then when you get, you know, these individuals on the record having to write to, you know, legally, and they say flat out, it was all symbolic. It just showcases to you how smart and how, like, nefarious sometimes these electeds, you know, they know that they're doing fear mongering, and they're using it to their side to be able to do implement all types of public policy that's absolutely awful. They want the institutions, they want the people to be worried about this boogeyman that doesn't exist. And then, you know, they're like, okay, I can point to X, Y, and Z, and that's why we're going to do this. And it's like, yeah, well, he's looking out for me, man. I mean, I believe what he's got to say. He thinks that Megan Wolf has done all these bad things, so we got to remove her, you know? And then thinking about voter ID, you run down the rabbit hole and say, yeah, I mean, we got all these people double, triple voting. We need to have some mechanisms in place to make sure this doesn't happen, you know? And it's just so exhausting after a while. And yet you see, these are smart individuals. They're not playing dumb. Like, they know exactly what they need to do to stoke that kind of fear.
Well, and right-wing talk radio helps. There is this built-in communication mechanism of the right, and it's been talk radio, and there are 81 stations in the state of Wisconsin cranking out these messages, giving them the air support they need. Milwaukee, Wisconsin is the best talk radio marketplace in the nation. 20% of all the radios are tuned to right-wing talk at any given time, day or night. So part of it is the right-wing messaging machine supports the lies. They don't care if you know the truth. Dan O'Donnell has been an invited speaker. Dan O'Donnell being a right-wing talk radio host in Milwaukee and Madison. Well, at the invitation of then assembly, elections chairperson Janelle Branch, and I giggled just knowing that she had the gavel. Hell, they wanted to arrest people through the subpoenas in the Gableman exercise. And they bring in right-wing talk radio hosts to message, to tell these stories without interruption from, let's say, crosstalk or any other testimony from experts, let's say. Who needs an expert when you got a right-wing talk radio host on your side?
That's all you need.
But literally, they are selling lies to their people. And here's one final thought, and I keep bringing this up, but this is inside baseball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
After the biggest right-wing talk radio station in the state of Wisconsin told its audience Joe Biden won the election, they lost half their audience in 1 month. And then January 6th happened. And they told their audience it was rigged, it was stolen, the real patriots are in D.C. right now. And they have doubled their audience and held that audience for the last 2 years since. 3 years. 3 years of telling this lie for fun and profit and ratings.
I don't know how to respond to that. I mean, it's real. I mean, and it's unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that it is, you know, that type of misinformation has stoked the fire for so many people. And now, you know, they feel like it has become the reality. It has become this truth. And they need to make sure that, you know, if there's anything that attacks that, it's hard to reason with anybody when they're drinking the Kool-Aid like that.
And but they're even, you know, a reasonable person that's just watching the lawsuits. The Kenneth Cheeseborough lawsuit was purposefully to convince people that Joe Biden had not won the state of Wisconsin, to plant that seed, to create this legal cover fire for the Republican Party, man. So, you know, you talk about nefarious. Buddy, I hope you're up to this job. The new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Bad stuff happens in this state, Nick Ramos. You know, hang around with the devil's advocates. We'll point at it for you.
Hey, I appreciate you guys more than words can express.
Now, if people want to get involved, find out more about the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, how can they do so?
Absolutely. So if you've got access to the internet, I would say go to wisdc.org. You can subscribe to our website. You can read articles that myself and other staff draft. You can get up-to-date e-alerts from us about what's going on in Wisconsin when it comes to money in politics, pro-democracy reform, a lot of redistricting and gerrymandering. But we like to keep you in tune and we want to hear from you. So,
and I got one from your organization again. I got one today, but again, remind people about the senatorial hearing tomorrow morning.
Absolutely. So if you're in Wisconsin and you've got nothing going on at 9 a.m. or you can move some things around, I ask for you to come to the Capitol in Madison. We're going to be in room 411 South. You get an opportunity to go on the record, have your voice heard, because as of recently, they have not been giving us a ton of opportunities to share what we feel about this redistricting bill. So come on in.
Is Dan O'Donnell on the speaking agenda?
I think that's a game time decision. We'll have to see.
Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Good to get to know you a little bit, man. We'll have you back real soon. Stick around, folks. Running with the devils all the way into the happier happy hour. Come on back.
Thanks, Nick.